years we hear this verse preached. We've learned it in Sunday school. We share it in many of the events of our lives, especially those that we may not have a full understanding of, going through some of our darkest and deepest hours. And yet, there is so much more understanding from the text that wants to speak to our hearts today. I want to make simple and clear three good points from this single verse that will help us as we continue through life, through our struggles, through our problems, through our good days, through our bad days, through our ups, through our downs, through life in its journey for the believer. Now, one of the things that I want to share with you is that Paul takes the Romans, if you will, to a new level in this eighth chapter. He's laid the groundwork, verse chapter 1 through 7. But when he gets to chapter 8, in verse 1, he begins to take them more on a spiritual journey and understanding that Christ and the Spirit of God works together in the believer. And so he says, there is, verse 1, therefore now no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He wants them to understand that all of the things of the flesh are fleshly, and the things of the Spirit are spiritual. And when we've learned how to repent and to release the problems of our past, and we press and look forward to our future, we no longer walk in those things that are carnal and fleshly, but our focus is on Christ, His cross, and our faith. And we begin to see how God deals with us on a spiritual plane that lifts us far beyond the flesh realm. And then we start learning how to elevate our praise, elevate our prayers, elevate our petitions beyond the flesh. You begin to understand that you have a spirit man on the inside of you that needs nurturing, that needs cultivating, that needs feeding, that needs fellowship. But listen, not just with you, but with the Holy Spirit. And so he brings all of this out to pass and bring this all up, making clear to us that we really don't understand the deeper things of Christ without the Spirit of Christ. Yeah, sometimes we don't understand that we can ask him for what we want in the flesh, but can we really ask him for what we need in the Spirit? And so because the flesh cannot communicate with the Spirit, the flesh cannot begin to articulate and interpret the needs of the spirit man underneath the skin. And therefore, you need the Holy Spirit to come in and fellowship and to be able to interpret and to bring understanding to the Spirit of God, to bring to Christ the deeper concerns of your spirit within the inner man of your existence. In other words, when he tells us that we don't know what we ought to pray as we ought to pray, it obviously has more to do with the spirit than the flesh, because in the flesh, we know what we need. We know what we want. We know what we desire from God in the flesh. But because we're talking about the spirit, the flesh does not have the ability to understand how the spirit operates, and only the spirit of the living God can fellowship and communicate with our spirit. And that's why when we pray in the Spirit of the living God takes our prayers, interprets our prayer, and then he transports our prayer to Jesus and brings to Jesus not what we said in the Spirit, but in the language of the Spirit, which is the communication of heaven's language to Jesus. In other words, when we pray in the natural tongue, that's earthly prayer. But when we pray in the Spirit, that's heavenly prayer. And the Holy Spirit takes our heavenly tongue and communicates it with Christ and shares with him the deeper needs underneath the skin. And he continues on through this text and brings us up to this word that we have in the 28th verse, which says, and we know. Well, the first word, and, suggests that it is a continuation, a connection with the verse that preceded that. And you keep running it on back up, you're going to keep running all the way on to the verse before and the verse before, etc. But let's look at what he says when he says, and we know. Let me ask a fundamental question. Who is the we? Who are the we? Who is he talking about? He's talking about born again believers in Christ Jesus who have the faith of Christ and believe in the finished works of his cross. Now keep in mind, this is a word after the resurrection. This is a word after Jesus has risen from the dead. This is a word after Calvary's cross and Sunday morning, Easter. This is a word for the believers to live now. Many times when we come to the Lord's Supper and we recite the scriptures that bring us into remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for us, when he did what he did at Calvary, that was not the finished works of Jesus Christ for the believer. That was the finished work for Christ of the believer. In other words, let me make it plain. When he gave everything he gave on the cross, that one time and one time only, it was so completely done that that process needed not be repeating again. And everything that he did that one time was done forever. So that means that what he did that one time on the cross for the believer, it was so that the believer from that time forward would have everything he or she needed in this life and in the life to come. The completed work of Christ. That's why there was no need to go back and do this again. And so when he talks about, and we know, he's talking about those who experientially have relationship, have fellowship, and experiences with understanding the word, the will, and the way of God. Now, here he moves into this next portion of the text that we want to look at. He says, and we know what? That all things work together. Now let's just pause right there. We know that. That is a point of knowledge that he's emphasizing for the people of God. This is a knowledge that every true believer ought to have a personal experience with. Has there ever been a situation in your life, a time in your life, where you could not figure out how it was going to work out, but you put your faith in Christ and you lifted your face up to the sky and said, Lord, you are my helper. My help comes from thee. I know, God, I can't fix it. I can't figure it out, but I know you can and you will. And somehow, before the thing was all over with, he stepped in right on time and worked it out for you. If you've had that experience, you're part of the we know crowd. I wish I had a witness. If you just had one experience, you're a part of the we know crowd. And many of us who've been with the Lord at a time have multiple experiences. Matter of fact, that happened daily. It's not just every now and then. Every day God keeps making a way, keeps doing miraculous things, keep holding you, keep keeping you, keep defending you, keep watching over you, keep protecting you, keep lifting you, keep I wish I had a helper in the house. They might not have started off good, but it ended up great because of the Lord. There were things the enemy forecasted for that day against you, and the Lord turned it around. You are a part of that we know crowd. But here's what I want to tell the people of God. First thing is, you need to trust the process. Point one, tell somebody, trust the process. This perhaps may be the hardest part of this scripture for the believer, to trust the process. The word says, we know that all things work together. If you know this, which means you have an intimate, personal, experiential knowledge of how God works, how he operates, what his processes are, you begin to recognize, wait a minute, the situation might be different, but the process is the same. Satan might have different tricks, but the Lord and his word is the same. And we need to know that all things leaves out nothing. All things for the believer, those who are part of the we know crowd, have the confidence in knowing that whatever comes your way had to come his way first. Listen to me well. And if it got to you, it's because God permitted it to. And if God permitted it to, holding his word as his bond, he would not allow more to be put on you than you can bear. So while the devil makes it appears as though it's too hard for you to bear, let me serve notice today, the devil is a liar and a deceiver too. God would not permit him to put more on you than God has equipped you to bear. That's the word of God. The first essence of this, in the way that we know it in the Holy Writ, Job makes this example clear to us. And it was because Job loved God. And that's the next part of our text. He loved him so much, he served him with gladness. And I want to throw this out parenthetically. When you love God, do you know you serve him with gladness? You don't come serving him like it's a burden and a bother and, Lord, here we go again. You know, it's just a drag on your spirit to serve the Lord. You wake up in the morning with your mind stayed on Jesus. And because your mind is stayed on him, he says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind It stayed on him because he trusteth in him. And because he trusteth in him, listen at this, he knows that all things work together. Now, look at this word work. Because to really understand this word, let me help you understand it in its true context. It literally means a project given to work with a pre-programmed ending. Somebody didn't get that. Work, every time work goes to work on your behalf, it knows that it's got only one option: to work it out for good. And everything that happens in that equation, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, if it happens to come into that equation, work takes it and meshes it together in the process of making all of it work out for your good. You've heard many people use the example of making the cake, and you know, nobody just go and eat butter, you know, just a spoon of butter. Nobody takes a spoon of salt. You know, nobody takes, you know, extract and just, but nobody takes flour and just, nobody takes a little oil and just, none of these things individually, and all of them together might not taste like much. But it's when they're all put in the bowl together. Listen, and they're still individually when they're put in the bowl. But the process says it's got to be mixed now. And in the mixing, the color changes of the individual ingredients. In the mixing process, the texture changes. In the mixing process, listen, the consistency changes. And when the mix is finally right, listen at this. Usually the baker, the experienced baker, can just look at it. But many times the inexperienced baker would take the spoon out. It's right now. And it still ain't over with. They then take the mixed ingredients and put it in either a greased pan, a buttered pan, or some pan that has some kind of sheen to it, and then they pour it in there, but the process ain't through yet. They then take the pan and put it in the oven. And when they put it in the oven, the heat has to get to the ingredients. And even though, listen at this, they had come together in the mixing, the final part of the process brings them all together, and they're all one consistent color. And when you pull it out of the oven, what a beautiful sight and a beautiful smell and a beautiful taste, because all of those individual things that were not good in themselves worked together for good. And that process is the same over, and it doesn't matter if it's a little problem or a large problem. Doesn't matter if it's a big, significant issue that you've never dealt with before, or one that seems to keep coming up again. The process is the same. When you trust that whatever you're going through is going to work out for your good, the devil gets mad. Because what happens is, when you know the process, and this is why I love the Word of God, because some things don't make sense till you bring other things in. And then when you bring things back to your remembrance, that's the reason why David said 23:4 before he went in. Yay! Though I walk, not run, I ain't scared, through the valley, of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? For thou art with, that's all I'm trying to tell somebody. The process says that God is with you. And if God is with you, tell me, who can be against you? Because here's the thing, they got to be against God to get to you. And they can't defeat him. So if they can't defeat him, guess what? They can't defeat you. And when the devil hits your life with an impossibility, with a situation that's so dark and dim, and how many of you can say, I've been through the storm? How many of you can say, I've been in the storm too long? Well, listen, can I tell you the only reason why you've been in the storm too long is because the Lord has been right in there with you. Otherwise, the storm would have taken you out a long time ago. He's with you. No, that all things, don't care what they are, where they come from, who started them, and who's there in the midst of them, they work together for your good. Good. Trust the process. Tell somebody else, trust the process. Now, let me say this to you. Let me say this to you before I move on. When you trust the process, it changes your mentality. You don't know when you're going to come out of it. You don't know how God's going to work the situation out. All you know is that when you do come out, you're going to come out like pure gold. I shared with some folk earlier that some of us don't go through what others of us go through because God can't trust us with trouble. See, if some of you went through what others of us went through, you'd be them thrown in the towel. You look at a believer who's been through it all, and they still got joy. It hurts my heart to see folk who used to rejoice and used to smile and used to dance and used to sing in the spirit, and now they sit like a lump on the log because their joy is gone. They've gone through so much that they've lost their joy. The enemy has beat them down so much that they don't realize they are the winner and that it is still, listen, amen, it is still ongoing. You haven't lost, you're still breathing. I don't know how many of you watched that movie, Creed 2. And I watched that movie, and when Drago, whatever the big old Russian guy was, his daddy had killed Apollo. And Apollo's son was fighting against Drago's son. And he must have been about 6'5", and this Creed was probably about 5'11", 6 feet at the most. I don't know, but he towered over massive, all the rest of that. And I don't want to give all away the story, but I just want to jump to the end of it so you can understand what I'm saying. I first of all, I made up my mind I'd never watch a movie like that with Sister Montgomery again. Every time Drago hit Creed, ooh, oh, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, woo, woo. Sister Montgomery, you are not in the movie. He's not hitting you and he ain't hitting me, baby. Can I listen? Oh man, she was like, oh no. I thought we was about to start a prayer meeting for Creed too.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1. Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I just want to take a practical look at Romans 8:28 for the believers, because we quote this verse, we study this verse, we hear this verse preached, we've learned it in Sunday school, we share it in many of the events of our lives, especially those that we may not have a full understanding of, going through some of our darkest and deepest hours, and yet there is so much more understanding from the text that wants to speak to our hearts today. I want to make simple and clear three good points from this single verse that will help us as we continue through life, through our struggles, through our